with the will of God. And it's a fascinating study to know all that God says regarding His will. And we have spent, in the last couple weeks, we've dealt with the importance of God's will. We saw that understanding God's will make you wise. We saw that understanding God's will is the goal of the Christian life, which Colossians 4:12 tells us that we may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. We saw that understanding God's will helps us to pray. Luke 1 John 5:14 asks, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And then we saw that understanding God's will helps us to do God's created purpose for us. And Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure. That word pleasure in our King James Version is the word God's will, that we were created for God's pleasure or for God's will. So it's important that we understand the will of God. And let me just say regarding God's will that it's important because the fact that a lot of people are ignorant regarding the will of God. They wonder, okay, what does God want me to do? And they're ignorant of that. That's why we need to deal with this. A lot of people misunderstand how to go about finding God's will. We also know that people will tend to reject God's will. And this is why we have to speak on it. And really, if there's ever been an abuse of the expression, the will of God, that will be because a lot of people say, well, I think it's God's will for me to do something that we know, according to the Bible, is absolutely contradictory. So it is important to know God's will. Now, last time that we spoke, we dealt not only with the importance of God's will, but we also dealt with the importance of finding God's will and doing it. We saw that God must reveal His will. Ephesians 1:9 talks about the mystery of His will. And the mystery of His will speaks of the fact that God sometimes does not reveal His will to us. But when He does, it's important that we understand it and that we respond to it. We also saw that God wants us to understand His will. Now, God doesn't expect us to know everything, but what He does reveal to us, He wants us to understand. Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God expects us to do His will. And so when we go to Hebrews 10:36, it assumes that we have done the will of God. So God wants us to do His will. And then God gives us the ability to do His will. Aren't you glad? We're told in the book of Hebrews 13, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. And then it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So it's God who works in you. We saw in Philippians chapter 2, it's God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So, what is God's will? So, how are we going to discover that? This evening, I want to begin, at least probably take a couple weeks, if not longer, to speak about discovering the will of God. And so, we ask ourselves the question, what is God's will? Now, I've kind of been skirting around it all along, but I want you to see that God's will is God's sovereign decree or purpose. So in other words, just as you purpose to do things, you make plans, you have determinations, I'm going to buy that vehicle, or I'm going to work this job, or I'm going to live in such and such a place. Now, of course, what does it say in the book of James? say not, I'm going to do this or do that, for what is your life? It is a vapor. But he said, what you ought to say is that if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this or that. So, when we think about God's purpose, Acts chapter 4, and I want you to see this in verse 28, it tells us regarding God, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So in other words, God has a plan. And it tells us here that regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, verse 27, by Pilate and Pontius Pilate and Herod, that he did whatsoever his hand and counsel determined before to be done. So God has determined what needs to happen. None of this is by accident. None of what's going on in our world is some kind of surprise to God. Now, isn't it fascinating when you go to study prophecy? God says that things are going to end up in a certain way. And we could ask ourselves about the Antichrist and about the tribulation period and the direction that people have. The Bible tells us that the hand of the king is in the Lord's hand. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he would. You say, we're just a bunch of puppets. Oh, no, we're not. We are simply doing things in our own choices that God has determined to be done. You say, I don't understand that. Well, welcome to the club. Now, it's interesting that this is the determined counsel of the Lord. Now, it's also interesting that we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, which is what got us going into this, because we're studying the book of Ephesians, and we study in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, we already looked at that, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So God has a purpose. It's to his pleasure that he does certain things. And it's fascinating that whatever God does, it's good. It's for his good pleasure. All things work together for, absolutely, according to his purpose. So God has this purpose in his plan. The third verse I want to show you, and we're just going to look at some verses this evening, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, which tells us that in verse 16, men verily swear by a greater and an oath for confirmation. But verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? It's us. And what is he abundantly showing us? Just look at that verse, verse 17. The immutability of his counsel. And it's confirmed by an oath. Now, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to do what? that we might have a strong consolation or comfort, we who have fled for refuge the hold on eternal life. Remember Pastor Nathan was talking about repentance? So I'm fleeing from the danger and I'm fleeing to Christ. But notice verse 17, His will, His counsel, it is immutable. Anybody know what immutable means? It doesn't change. Now, we have to be careful about that because what may be His will for me at one point in my life may not be His will for me in a later point in my life. It doesn't mean that it's changed. And sometimes people talk about, well, you don't have God's best in your life. Well, God has a will for you. God has a purpose for you. And it doesn't change in the sense that God knows what you ought to do or not to do. And that's important because it makes us wise. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we are thinking in terms of God's sovereign. That means His almighty decree. He makes a declaration. And He says, I know exactly how it's going to turn out. Get in line with that. Now, we know that God has a purpose for individuals. And there's three verses I want to look at. Look over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now, this is true no matter how you want to twist it. You know, you have in politics, they talk about how they spin things. Bill O'Reilly used to have the no spin zone. And what he was saying by that is that we're not trying to spin the truth. And so no matter how you try to spin it, what I'm about to show you is always true. And it tells us in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Can we read it out loud? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that totally rules out the idea that God chooses people to go to heaven, chooses people to go to hell. That totally eliminates that. Because God wants everyone to go to heaven. He wants everyone to repent. And so we have to try to understand God, don't we, when we think, well, how can He know everything, how it's all going to come out in the end, and yet He leaves it up to people's choices? Well, however it works, God doesn't want you to go to hell. And if you're listening on the internet, my friend, God does not want you to perish. God wants you to repent. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But that's His will. So that neighbor of yours, that friend of yours, that person in the post office, that person at the grocery store, family member that you have been praying for years, God is for you to help them come to Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're told in chapter 4, verse 3, okay, verse that maybe you're familiar with. For this is what? The will of God. So you want to know what God's will is? Well, even or your sanctification, even is, okay, that's what His will is. His will is that you are sanctified. What is sanctification? Sanctification is to be, I think it was Mike Martin who mentioned it, or one of them did, the fact that we are set apart. It's the word we get the word holy. And the scripture tells us it's God's will that you be holy. And so that being the case, whatever else you might wonder what God's will is, He wants you to be saved and He wants you to be holy. And this whole idea that God saves us so that we can live any way we want is totally contradictory to the scripture. Because in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness." So He wants us to be sanctified. And this is the will of God. Now, in chapter 5, if you go over a page, you'll see in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, that it is God's will that we moan and complain and gripe. Right? No, it's not. It tells us that in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." So this is what God has decreed for you and me, that we would truly and genuinely be thankful. So He wants us to get saved. He wants us to live holy. He wants us to be thankful people. And of course, you know, when we think of Thanksgiving, you know, that's the time of year we talk about being thankful. But that doesn't mean to be thankful for getting to rip off somebody and getting away with it. That doesn't mean be thankful because of some wrong act that you committed and it just was so fun. No, that's not. We're talking about being thankful for what God has done for us. And so we should not be complaining and bickering and fighting and just downright miserable all the time. That is not God's will for you. Isn't that great? God wants us to be truly satisfied. Now, it's easier said than done, and I understand that. And one of the things that we're going to find regarding God's will, most of the time you already know what God's will is. The problem is, how do you do it? But if you remember Hebrews 13, verse 21, not only does God expect you to do His will, but He gives you the ability to do His will. And that's why we have to access the power of God in our lives. We must walk in the Spirit. So, how can we know what God's will is in our conduct? Well, in general, that we be saved, that we be holy, that we be thankful. But there are many things in the Bible that He tells us is clearly stated. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't even know what the Bible says. Now, I don't think that's true with the folks we have here for the most part. But I do think that we have to recognize that God's will on many matters is clearly taught. We don't have to wonder, is it God's will? Now, you're in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 17. One real short verse. Pray without ceasing. Now, you don't have to say, "Now, Lord, do you want me to pray?" You don't have to ask that question. Now, you may have to ask a question specifically how to pray, but he tells us in his word to pray. So we don't have to wonder if it's God's will for us to pray. He does want us to pray. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you go over there, 2 Timothy, you're right after 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, chapter 2:15. It tells us here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does God want us to study his word? Yes or no? It's very clear. We don't have to wonder if it's important. We know God's already told us that we are to study his word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. And of course, we've spent a lot of time with that on last Sunday regarding our missionary conference and Pastor Nathan talking about Acts chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you, and ye shall be what? Now, we tried to show you the last Sunday morning, and I know Pastor Nathan did as well, to show that evangelism isn't an option. It's not an option. It's not for those spiritual people. It's for all Christians. It's interesting because when you go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, chapter 8. Look over to chapter 8 of Acts. It tells us in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution. And then we're told in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? So someone comes along and says, well, that's for the apostles. It's for preachers. But who was it that was being scattered preaching the word? Well, it wasn't the preachers, because in chapter 8, verse 1, it talks at the end of that verse, they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except who? So it wasn't, you know, the Great Commission's for apostles. No, the Great Commission is for all Christians. We don't have to wonder if that is God's will. It is for every Christian. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, tells us, be ye not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So the scripture here tells us it's very clear. God does not want us to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And of course, we know that, you know, a young person will say, well, I want to marry someone and they're not saved, but I think I can lead them to Christ. It's not God's will for you to be in evangelism dating. The fact is that God doesn't want us to be unequally yoked together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 tells us to flee something. What is it? So you need to flee lust. You know, Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he had enough realization because he's of God. He said, how can I do this wrong in the sight of God? So what did he do? In the words of Ryan Hamilton, he put on his running shoes. And the fact is, we get in trouble, folks, when we toy with lust. And the Scripture tells us to flee youthful lust. So, and to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, we could go on, couldn't we? There's a lot that the Bible tells us. That's why we got to read the Scripture. We need to know what God's Word says. And when it specifically addresses an issue, we can automatically know it is God's will as to what God says about that issue. And so we have to understand that the will of God is very, very clear on many, many, many issues. You know, it tells us that we ought to do certain things. If we had time, maybe I would ask you, what other things does he say? But we don't have time. Next week, I want to address the fact, what about when God doesn't specifically say something? How is it that I can know God's will? Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to discover your will. Help us to never think that we can get along without your word. Lord, we do not want to misunderstand your word. We do not want to twist your word. And, Lord, we want to know exactly what you say. Lord, you leave it up to Bible teachers and preachers to proclaim your word. And yet, Lord, there's so many people that are saying a lot of things that are contradictory to your word. Now, Lord, help us to understand and discover from your word those things that are clearly stated. And we'll praise you for what you do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening.